The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's savings specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, caller says, oh, by the way, the caller doesn't say this. This is yours truly saying this. Oh, you know about Jim Callery and his difficulties with broadband? Would you believe our email isn't working in here this morning? So maybe we've gone out in sympathy with Roscommon. Anyway, caller says, I agree with Jim in relation to rural degeneration, where services are stripped from the areas and the agricultural sector is left to fall apart. I believe that rural areas will end up with mainly older people and with very few services. Another one says, Marion, you may not realise how infuriating it is in rural Ireland when everything is falling apart and the Dublin media seem fixated on referendums and ministers' private lives. We live in a totally different country. Another one said, just to agree with others, I live in West Cork. Netflix, Dream On, Skype. What's that? And that comes from John in Cork. And as I say, when you're all set up with it yourself, you're grand. But I know of somebody that lives close enough to me who's selling their house because they can't get any access to broadband and never will and don't have a direct line of sight for Wi-Fi. So it's as serious as that, you know, for people. But they can't upend themselves from the west of Ireland to sell their houses, to move somewhere else in order to get these kind of services anyway.
Ask the Specialists on the Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Ireland's savings specialists. Rabodirect, the straight-talking savings bank.
Now, winter is the season. You know the way they say autumn mists and mellow fruitfulness? Well, not quite the same thing. Colds and influenza-like illnesses, sniffle, sneezing, all of the above. I don't know whether it is the cold weather alone that has something to do with these illnesses, but what exactly? Well, our specialist in studio this week is Dr. Ilona Duffy. She's a GP from Monaghan. She is going to take us through the do's and don'ts of the common cold and other related illnesses. Well, for anybody out there that has it at the moment, and I gather there is a lot of it there, we'll go through how they might deal with it. But is there any way of avoiding it?
Unfortunately not, Marion. Common colds and flu-like illnesses are part of normal life, and as an adult you can expect to get at least 2 to 3 per year. Kids obviously will get more, and anything up to 8 a year, and it's just one of those things. And why do we get them? I mean, you mentioned why are there more of them in the wintertime, and is it related to the weather? It's actually not so much the weather as the fact that during the winter we're all indoors more. We're, you know, the doors are closed, the heating's on, we're kind of contaminating each other with them, so I think there's more spread of them rather than the actual viruses being more prevalent in cold weather.
Right. And you would say that if you have it, no hugs, no kisses, none of that sort of thing, because you will pass it from one to the other.
You will. I mean,
even with kids?
Well, even with kids, I mean, they're viruses and they're highly infectious. That's the reality of it. I mean, they tend to be spread more from your aerosol spray. So every time you cough, every time you sneeze. Now, you can do basic things to reduce your infectivity and reduce transmission. Have a tissue in your hand. Ideally use paper tissues. Get rid of the old hankies, because you're just putting a dirty hanky up to your face and putting it down. But do put a hand over your mouth. If you don't have a tissue, at least a hand, and wash your hands. And I think lots of places still have gels and things in schools and hospitals everywhere. Do use them to clean your hands afterwards, because you put your hand down on something and you're actually spreading viruses to the chair, the table, the desk, whatever you're touching yourself. So if we do all of that, I think we can save other colleagues and other friends from getting them.
Wrap yourself in cotton wool maybe is the ideal thing to do. What is a cold versus the flu versus, you know, the aches and pains one?
Okay, well, a cold encompasses loads of different viruses in your upper respiratory tract infection. So that would be your nose, your sinuses and your throat. And typically the symptoms that people will complain of are the runny nose. So just feeling blocked up, nose dripping, maybe being aware of stuff trickling down the back of your throat, what we'd call a post-nasal drip. And that's very uncomfortable, because obviously it affects your breathing, it affects your taste. So you can't taste the food, you don't want to eat as much. Yeah. And most importantly for most people, it affects their sleep. And I think this is a big thing with babies. babies and with kids, they can't breathe because babies are naturally nasal breathers. So when they get blocked up in their nose, they wake and they're slower about feeding.
And what can you do for them? Do you just live with it, or do they have to live with it? Or can you give them something that will release the nose?
Well, I suppose what we're trying to do is wait on the virus to shed itself, and it creates inflammation in your airways, in the nasal passages especially, and that's what causes the increased production of mucus. So for adults, it's easy. We can take decongestant tablets or use decongestant sprays.
Like
Sudafed, Actifed, tablets like that. And there are sprays like that. Now, they're great as long as you've no contraindication for those. So if you're somebody who has uncontrolled blood pressure or you have bad heart disease, you need to be careful about taking those. But again, your chemist will normally be good and check that with you and advise you on it.
Right.
If you have those, we'd advise you not to take the tablets. But most people can take the tablets or use a spray. Big thing with the sprays is don't keep using the Sudafed-like sprays. You really should only use them for up to a week, because afterwards you can get this rebound effect where actually as soon as you stop it, you get symptoms back and then feel you can't stop it. So the ear, nose and throat specialists don't really like those sprays.
And for children and babies?
For children and babies, we really don't recommend kind of Sudafed syrups and things in the under sixes and under sevens. So there's not a lot you can do. The young babies, you can help clear their nasal passages with saline sprays. You can buy those over the counter in the chemist, and it's really just a matter of kind of washing out the sinuses and hoping to help them. I mean, these are self-limiting illnesses. It's going to settle, but you as a parent are probably going to be worried about the child. And what should you be looking out for? I mean, most parents will say, well, when do I need to come to the doctor and what should I be doing? Monitor temperatures, and I think that's the most important thing. You will, if you have a cold, have a slight temperature rise, and normal temperature would be anything up to 37.5 degrees Celsius. But if you start seeing your temperature going above that, treat yourself. And I think that's the important thing. Do treat temperatures. We do in our children. I think we're very good about checking temperatures in kids.
Yeah.
And probably every mum has a thermometer in the house. But it's amazing. I was on call last weekend, and how many calls come in, and even visits I did to see patients, and what I'd say, well, how's the temperature? Oh gosh, I don't know. And it might be an elderly person, and you know, the common complaint is the legs have gone from them. They're so weak. They're complaining of a headache. They're really weak. They're lethargic. They're sleeping a lot. And just like with the baby, often you check the temperature and it's high, and two paracetamol gets it right down there, and you're much improved.
And that'll do it.
It will. And it is a thing. I mean, it's my bugbear at the moment. I think everybody should have a thermometer in their house. And everybody said, oh God, I used to have one when I had the kids, but I don't have one now. And thermometers are so easy to use. We're not using the old mercury ones anymore because people would be kind of shaking them, breaking
That's
them,
right,
losing mercury around the place.
Yeah.
And not able to read them because trying to see that thin line. It's all so easy now. You can get little digital ones that you put under your arm. You can get the more high-tech ones that you put in your ear. They'd be a bit dear, probably 30, 40 euro. But the ones you put under your arm, you'll get them for a fiver. They're on sale in Lidl and Aldi and all your chemist shops. And just get one and have it. You can get little strips you put on the forehead. They're not great. They might be good for an adult, but kids tend to sweat a lot when they get a temperature. And sometimes you put them on and you get a false low reading and you're not really sure of the temperature.
Right.
And again, the other thing about temperatures, not only are you going to treat it and ease some of your symptoms, but the other thing is that if you have really high temperatures, so in children with temperatures maybe above 39 degrees, we'd be saying, you know, that would be an indication to come and see your doctor. Also, if your temperatures are failing to settle, it's a sign that maybe it's not a virus, that it's not clearing from your system. So I normally would say to mums and dads, you know, if temperatures aren't clearing in your kid in 2 to 3 days, then, you know, it might be a reason to come and see us.
And equally with adults?
And equally with adults.
Right. Because one of the things I understand about viruses is that you may as well be whistling in the wind as taking antibiotics, and that you're adding to the problem of the failure of antibiotics when you might really need them.
Absolutely. Antibiotic resistance is a huge problem in the community, and we're seeing more and more antibiotics just not working, not hitting infections when we need them to. And it's a big problem in the hospitals. And I suppose for many people, we all want a quick fix. None of us want to be sick. None of us want to be taking time out of work, and none of us want to be feeling rotten.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And there is that expectation, look, go to the doctor, get something. It's bound to speed it up. And really, it doesn't. And there's some evidence that perhaps it'll prolong it. And also, you're leaving yourself more prone to side effects as a result of antibiotics, both diarrhea and thrush in women. So really, don't be pushing your doctor for an antibiotic. I mean, I know us GPs, we're sometimes blamed for giving out too many antibiotics.
Yes.
But it's very difficult. If you have somebody who's in front of you, who's feeling miserable, who's saying, look, I have a big meeting tomorrow. I have to be ready. I have to be fit for work. I can't take days off. Just give me something. Sometimes it can be hard not to give them an antibiotic, even though in your heart of hearts, you know, it'll make little difference. Yeah. So I think one new technique we're doing is we're saying to the patient, look, here's a prescription. It's a deferred prescription. Don't fill it. Wait a day or two. See how you are. And I think people are becoming more willing to wait and see.
Yeah, because 2 days apparently it'll clear up.
Yeah.
And it will clear up unless there's some other underlying problem.
It will. It will. Now, one thing with the head colds is people often think that when the let's say what's coming from the nose turns yellow after a day or two, that means they definitely need an antibiotic. And it actually doesn't. It's part of the process that what's coming out of your nose will start off as being clear.
Right.
And it will then maybe turn a bit yellow and green. But unless you're like really feeling short of breath or the high temperatures or having pain over your sinus bone, so that would be your forehead, yeah, your cheeks on either side of your nose, then again, sit it out.
You say zinc can be useful.
Yeah, there is evidence that actually zinc, and I didn't know this before, actually doing a bit of reading about head colds, that zinc can help. But I think they've done some studies suggesting that zinc helps, but there's no, let's say, definitive evidence to say how much zinc people should be taking.
Right.
And it's interesting, there is a lot of research ongoing re-colds. There's actually a centre in Cardiff called the Common Cold Centre, and it was set up in 1988. And they look at thousands of people every year. At one stage, they're actively making them become infected with head colds, getting them in and putting them in a contagious environment,
yeah,
just to see, well, they were all getting paid for this,
yeah,
don't worry.
Right, okay.
But it was to see, well, what would work? And really nothing has worked. And so now they're not doing the active infecting of people, but they are monitoring them and still looking for things. And again, everything I've said is what they're recommending.
Okay, now just before we leave that particular area, for kids under six, you say no medication?
Yeah, new guidance came out a couple of years suggesting that really all of the cough bottles and decongestants weren't recommended in kids. It was felt that they were of little benefit. So giving a child a cough bottle to break their mucus really was pointless and really just costing the parent money and trying to get a horrible tasting thing into a child. And that some of the decongestants like the Sudafeds and Actifeds could cause their heart to race and could cause problems there. So it's recommended to wait until after that.
OK, now questions are in to you about tummy bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Are they on the go as well at the moment?
Absolutely. Gastroenteritis.
God, you'd be afraid to go outdoors, it has to be said. Haven't had a cold in 6 years. I blend raw garlic and chilli and add a spoonful to all meals. Haven't been kissed in 6 years. I wonder why. And another person saying, is it possible that we're too clean? I've heard that said quite a bit, you know, that our own immune system isn't strong enough because we kind of overdo it. But anyway, come back to the tummy bugs and
okay. Well, the immunity thing, interesting you say that
yeah,
there is a feeling amongst immunologists really that our kids aren't meeting bugs as they're being, I suppose, reared in such a hyper clean environment,
yeah,
that they're not building up their own
not
resistance.
Not eating worms,
yeah,
anymore.
Well, things drop on the ground and the old 10-second rule is gone. You know, you'd be lifting it up and rubbing it, taking any bits of dust off it and handing it to the child again if it was whatever, bit of fruit or something. But that's all gone. It's now, no, don't touch it and don't let anybody else touch it. And if they've touched it, don't you touch it. So I think we're being overprotective. I mean, there's a happy balance with it. But what's happening is we're seeing increased rates of allergies in kids. So skin allergies, asthma, nasal allergies, and really they're feeling that it's probably because of this rather than, I mean, the feeling sometimes was, well, are we contaminating the air? Is that the reason?
Yeah.
But now it's really we're turning against ourselves.
Right.
But on to gastroenteritis.
Yeah.
Now, that's the vomiting and diarrhea bug. And a big problem, horrible, horrible when you have it, and hugely contagious as well. So it's on the go and it's always on the go. But again, tends to be wintertime when people are together, we'll see it. And always you'll see it in areas where people are close together, so schools. So this is another reason why kids get more colds and get more bugs like gastroenteritis.
Yeah. Because A&Es.
Well, listen, you stay away from A&E. If you've got vomiting and diarrhoea, really you should not be going to A&E because you're risking the contamination of staff there and other patients. And in the majority of cases, you can self-manage this at home without going anywhere.
With what?
Well, typically, the most important thing is to remain hydrated. And the two groups of people who are at highest risk of becoming dehydrated with the vomiting and diarrhoea bug are the elderly and children. So it's a matter of monitoring them. And I think in elderly patients especially, one thing we should remember is that elderly people, as we get older, we lose our sense of thirst. And thirst is a protective mechanism for us to stop us becoming dehydrated. But if you no longer feel thirsty, you don't realise and you stop drinking and you're feeling a bit nauseated, so you don't realise you have to push the fluid. So if you have an elderly person, make sure to push the fluids. They're at higher risk of running into kidney problems and heart problems if they get dehydrated. What should you have in your cupboard to help you? Anti-sickness and anti-diarrhea drugs do help, especially the anti-diarrhea ones. So typical Lomital and Imodium. And there are other, I'm giving two brand names, but there are lots of others. And you talk to your chemist about this. And they help ease the diarrhoea. The most important thing is, if you're an adult, fast yourself. Give yourself 24 hours of no solids. Plenty of fluids. I'm trying to get a mixture of fluids. Something that's got sugary stuff in it. And the ideal thing, obviously, is you can get rehydration solutions, Rapalite, Diorolite from your chemist. And they have salts and things that you might be losing, because if the diarrhea is very bad, you can be losing certain salts that leave you feeling weaker and leave your muscles kind of aching and cramping as well. Yeah. Again, it normally settles within a couple of days and you're back to normal. But the big thing is, stay at home. People go to work, come to GP surgeon, go to A&Es, and there is no point. We're not going to do anything else for you. However, do come if you're feeling particularly weak, or even just ring the GP surgery and say, listen, this is the way a relative is, and we've tried X, Y, and Z. They're not getting any better. And then we may arrange to see you at the end of a surgery, but avoid going to casualties, especially with kids with the vomiting and diarrhoea.
Right, no, because somebody was describing a not very nice picture of one of the children's A&Es where the kids spontaneously vomit and then it doesn't get cleaned up. Stop. And God, it sounds,
I know, and everybody, you know, and again,
bring
there are children
back
who
bring back the nuns,
absolutely. Some kids do need admission for rehydration with a drip, but they're in the minority.
Right, okay. How do you know you have the flu as opposed to a cold? I heard if you can't get out of bed to pick up €20 in the garden, you have the flu.
I think that's quite good. That caller is quite good. The difference between the flu and flu-like illnesses and colds is that the flu hits you like a train coming at you. First of all, it'll present very quickly, and typically people will start having a high temperature really quickly. They can be fine, and an hour later the temperature is sky high and they just are flattened completely, weak, all the head cold kind of symptoms, but just general weakness and muscle aches and pains. A lot of that relating to the high temperatures, because if you have high temperatures, you actually get breakdown of protein in your muscles, and that gives you that feeling that you've run a marathon. So again, that's another reason for having your thermometer in the house, because it'll give us a sense of it. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about flu at the moment, because we are in flu season and there is a surveillance system going for reporting of flu. So it has picked up, and definitely there's been a doubling in the last few weeks.
Right.
And this is
any point to getting the jab still?
Still, absolutely. Okay. And there's been a lot of talk about the flu jab as well, because there was a feeling that it may not work this year. And to reassure people, the flu jab is vaccinating you against multiple types of flu.
Okay.
It's only one that may not be working. Get your flu jab.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very, very much indeed for that. That was Ilona Duffy. And if this moment, we will pause for the Angelus.